I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we are back for episode 126 of Digital Divination.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year that comes with its own...
Disclaimer, yes, it does. I am an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I present here are mine and not theirs.
Now, if all you right. don't say that, is because you weren't here last time and didn't say it, is that why Wizards took your beard?
they took my beard away. That would be a bald-faced lie. No, you'll note that I'm also not wearing a collared shirt, as I usually do almost all the time. I'm, in fact, wearing a T-shirt with, like, words and stuff on it, which I don't
show
often
us.
Do.
It's a this special
is the,
shirt.
This is the D&D. This is my six-pack with...
Oh, six dice.
With dice. This was a Christmas gift, and I found it colorful and delightful. But you're right. I missed last time. Did you guys talk about New Year's resolutions?
No, that was the previous year that we did that. Remember?
I know, but I thought we were going to catch up. Hang on. I looked at them. I went back and listened a year ago to see whether or not we did all the things, and then I couldn't make it at the last minute.
Okay.
So let me see if I can find those. Talk amongst yourselves while I look at these up.
I didn't make a resolution for this year. I just have things to do.
I kind of made some. I didn't make any verbal. I didn't verbalize them, but I had some plans, things I was going to work on.
You did verbalize that you would try to get more up on Pathfinder, Starfinder, Infinite.
I didn't do any of that. Oh boy!
Okay. Yeah, Jason, you said you were going to move.
Hey, I did. All right, I moved 27, so I doubled that resolution.
Wow!
Check and double check.
Well, I will say, in my defense, though, even though I didn't check and double check, that I have multiple unannounced things coming that prevented me from doing things as much as I would like to have done on Infinite.
And yeah, no, that's really fair, because as we all know, with a publishing schedule, you're working on stuff for sometimes many months before it's ever even announced, much less published. So. Yeah. If you were doing stuff like that in 2024, that totally makes sense. That counts.
And
all right.
What about you? Did you go back and scrutinize your own?
I did. I was going to help more, right? I decided that one of the things I wanted to do was reach out and, assist other people, especially people who are sort of, finding the world kind of a tough time, tough place. I've done a lot of that. I've reached out, done some community volunteering and the like, which I'm still doing, and found that really satisfying.
Well, good.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. I must have taken that, internalized it, since I also started volunteering at a shelter this year, last year, but still doing it.
You did. You met my New Year's resolution, too. Good job.
I got everyone's New Year's resolution except for John's.
You didn't do anything on Infinite?
I didn't post anything on Infinite. Okay. Like you, I had too much other stuff to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Well... Good. Well, we're not going to do this. Is not the New Year's episode catch up, but I'm glad you brought those things up. Did you go back and watch our episode that we recorded without you?
Yeah, I wanted to know what I'd promised to do and what you guys had promised to do to hold you accountable.
Oh no, no, no! The one
last episode.
Last episode.
Oh goodness, no! I'm sorry. I was busy. That's because I was traveling. We left immediately after Christmas, and I've been traveling for the past. We just got back last night, so
yeah. Mm. Okay. Well,
why did was it homework? Did I miss out on doing my job here? I'm worried.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. You just missed all of our tradition talk.
Yeah.
Oh,
it would have been good to hear you chime in about. Oh yeah, I listened to your traditions. Oh, and let me share a couple of my.
Well, instead,
but it's too late for that.
How about the tradition of talking about Starfinder stuff? Because now we've got Starfinder stuff to talk about.
We do. Yes, yes. This is a Starfinder-focused show, and now it's second edition coming out here at Gen Con. This new year brought us some more interesting things.
I wouldn't call this a tradition, though. This is literally the job. This is the point of the podcast. This is the bedrock of it, I would imagine. More not a thing that we do because we've done it before.
Let me correct you there, Jason, because back in the early days, we didn't necessarily get a whole lot of Starfinder talking. Okay. You've improved us and focused us, Jason.
When you came on, we decided we had to get serious, no more goofing around all the time. So, you know. Thanks. Though I will say that that last episode, I think because it went away from what we've been doing in the norm, somebody did make a comment about how Jason and I probably could have just got on the phone for 10 minutes and caught up that way instead of doing a whole podcast about it.
All right. Okay.
This podcast could have been an email. That's
something like that. So. But back to Starfinder, especially Starfinder 2nd Edition, I was so excited. One of the things that I had decided to do this year, 100%, was to go to Gen Con because I had kind of bailed on it last year. I thought I had legitimate reasons. Wow. So I went out and just a couple of days ago, I bought my flight tickets for Gen Con.
Ooh.
Just to get them going before they got expensive.
When do the hotel blocks open? Do you remember? I think it's late January, early February.
I don't know.
We ought to know.
You ought to know.
My work might send me, but I don't think that's a guarantee, and I don't want to miss it regardless. So what I think I'm going to do is sign up to go as a regular attendee, then you know I can pivot if work ends up sending me or they end up reimbursing me or whatever. So. But I think it may be a thing that I do on my own. It's the end of July, I want to say, this upcoming year.
July 31st to August 3rd, I'm pretty sure of the dates.
Yeah, I think that'll be really exciting. I've got the whole following week off. So already, that's just one of the weeks that we have off that I know. When I'm thinking about tickets, I may go out maybe to Chicago with my family and then drive to Gen Con and then come back and then spend the next week in Chicago. I have to work out vacation plans, I guess. That's my excuse for why I haven't bought my tickets yet, like you have, John. But I want to be there. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm actually staying a couple of days to visit my good friend Dan, who's in Dayton, Ohio. He came and visited, sat in on one of our games years ago.
Okay.
From out of town. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm planning on going to organized play. That's kind of been my thing. So they're pretty nice. If you volunteer for 7 blocks of organized play, then they will give you half a room share. And the Paizo rooms are really nice. They're just across the Skybridge from what's the big ballroom?
The Sagamore Ballroom.
Yeah, right across from the Sagamore. That's the hotel they've been in, and so it's super convenient. So because otherwise, even you know, if you go through the lottery, who knows where you could end up being?
That's true.
That's the tough part.
And you could end up being either way. There's a big cost because you're either in one of the local hotels that tends to be a little more expensive, or maybe you can save a lot of money by being in one of the farther away hotels, but then you've got to pay parking every day. So
you got to find parking too.
Find parking every day.
Like two parts of it. So, but excited about it with the release. And so recommend all the listeners start looking at those flights because what I found last year is if you delay too long, all the cheaper, and they're already, quite frankly, a lot of the better times for the cheaper flights are already booking up. So.
Yeah. I'm hoping to go this year too, actually. So if we're all going,
that would be great.
We could record a show from there.
live show.
Sunday night.
Yeah, we could.
We have to do it not quite that night, but basically, because if I go, I'm going for, you know, with Paizo and I'll be working. Well, not Sunday night. I'll be doing the thing that we all
I'll be off Sunday night. I mean, I'm going to stay. Probably through Monday. We don't have to. I actually have a portable recorder that I used to take to conventions to do interviews with people. So we could do audio only. It's just more I got a pack, but you know, I can.
We'll talk about it. I'm sure we'll figure it out. Make sure we're all going.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we know, have they announced specifically the releases that they're going to have? Because I know it's going to be the Starfinder, right? Starfinder 2nd Edition is coming out at Gen Con, they've said.
Yeah, yes, the core.
That's what they've said.
The player
Starfinder core, player right? core. And the GM core, or no?
I don't. They've
This is one of those things I can't quite remember what's been said and what hasn't
that's,
been said.
That's so fair. Let's not press you on that then.
That I know.
They have pictures out of the player core, GM core, galaxy guide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that at least two of those are released at Gen Con.
Well, Galaxy Guide is going to get released this
before. Spring. Yeah, it's before, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be out already.
And well, that's really
it's
smart.
Definitely player core. And
then when people get the Starfinder player core, be able to say, oh, you want to know about the whole universe in which this is set? The Galaxy Guide is right here.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And it's going to have some rules in it, too.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
In fact, just recently, the player core cover has been out and prominent. So Jenny Jarzabski did a interview just a couple of days ago and for Polygon, and that's kind of the big screenshot that they have of the cover that it's kind of headlining the interview. So it's kind of neat to see. It's the first time I've seen it. I don't know if it's been up anywhere before.
Yeah, kind of the purple laser dragon thing.
Yes.
The Akashic Dragon is apparently Akashic. What it is.
So it means it's very knowledgeable, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably come from the whatever the Akashic record plane of existence that, you know, we have. You know, with the way that dragons have sort of changed within second edition, this makes sense for dragons to be also.
So this is really a picture of a very irate librarian.
Could be.
Going against Starfinders trying to check out material when they're like after hours or something, it looks like.
I mean, 100%, this is literally what Jenny said. This is a museum.
Yeah.
What that they're in. Mm-hmm. And I assume that means just because the iconics on the cover are trying to steal something from the museum.
Or the iconics are trying to protect the museum and the dragon's trying to steal something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Or they're trying to make a late night kind of return and didn't clear it. You know, the due date's coming up. And
yeah, we found this sword of sin just lying around. Let's bring it back to the museum.
It belongs in a museum. Like right now it belongs in a museum, even though it's after hours. Is the Akashic Dragon? I should know this. I should have looked this up even. Is the Akashic Dragon one of the occult dragons that's in the Pathfinder Remaster?
I think it's just for Starfinder.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything. It's not in Monster Core. You know, that's not one of the weird occult dragons for Monster Core or, as far as I know, anything else coming up.
Yeah, because the Akashic sort of demiplane of knowledge spans both.
Yes, it. Yeah, Pathfinder 2nd Edition hasn't really talked about that much, as far as I know. But you know, it is the plane of knowledge.
Yeah, in Starfinder there were archetypes related to it and stuff. So
yeah, it was based off. There was like the mystic connection, right? I think that might even still be in the playtest. There's an Akashic mystic connection, so it is slightly more of a thing, I would say, or at least more of a focus of a thing.
And this one is a laser-eyed Akashic, so I don't think that would be in the Pathfinder Monster Core.
Some sort of supernatural eyes. Focus. Who knows?
This guy is—he's got like this dragon here is putting on a Pink Floyd laser light show with his eyes. It's wild.
Oh, that's true. Maybe he's really just doing a display in the museum. For the Starfinder iconics to view, because there's some holographic imagery around it, so that would make sense.
Yeah, this is not a fight. This is a lecture.
Oh yes, that makes more sense.
Oh, that's right. This is I don't want to put you on the spot with this, John, but is this a thing you can put the image of the thing on the sort of where you know, the video for YouTube, so you could put up so people watching this know what we're talking about, or is that not a thing?
I actually can do that. So, you know, while we're talking, what I can do is I can switch over as whenever this particular point comes up, click on the image, it kind of takes over the screen there, and then our voices keep going, and then yeah.
Well, that's kind of wizardry I don't know how to do. Yeah. From my perspective, John, you're an Akashic dragon who can project imagery out of your eye.
Well, if we were streaming, I could do that as well. I mean, yeah. It's kind of the system I use actually is designed for streaming. We just happen to record with it. I happen to edit and record with it, but we could stream all that live. Just out of No Direction, you know, used to do this sort of thing.
Neat.
So, but yeah, so I'll try to put that up. And then there's also, I was just looking at the Galaxy guy, but there's the Starfinder GM's guide too.
Yeah, the GM core cover is up there. We've got a clearly one of the Aznati Star Empire Imperators, or maybe even a new one that I can't quite remember because that I think in the current time, the current lore, there's two of them, right?
Oh, this looks like a purple Thrawn.
Like, yeah, that's a way to put it.
Yeah. Thrawn, but purple, yeah, not blue. I don't know. Interesting. Like the binding's all purple on this one. I don't know that we saw the binding on the other one.
Well, these are most likely mock-ups, right?
Right.
These are not these books don't physically exist yet. So, but whether or not the binding could still be purple, but
yeah,
when we do the mock-ups, it's try to get as much of it as possible, right? But yeah.
Well, the Galaxy Guide is a different shade of purple cover, the binding.
Yeah. Well, you know, something. Well, I'm not sure when, all the, you're right, it is a little different. I mean, they're all three different purples, but again, we don't know how much they're going to, that those are going to be the exact
are going to be, right? Yeah, what yeah. they'll look like together on a shelf or whatever.
Exactly. Because the player core and the GM core are basically the same. Yeah, sorry, I just had to check. They're the same. They're meant to be the same kind of shade,
right? And maybe that's
with the green text. Yeah, and hopefully, maybe that'll be the way that it goes with. I went and looked up actually when we were talking about Galaxy Guide, what might be in it, and I went and looked up the product page, which is up, so you can see that it does have the rules in it, include 6 ancestries and 6 archetypes.
Oh, that's awesome. I thought there were only going to be 4. This is and it's going to be weirdo ones like Astrozoans and stuff, right? Is that?
100%. It's the Astrozoan, the Contemplative, Dragonkin, the Kalo, the Sarcesian, and the Vlaka. So, great. Good stuff. But it doesn't say what the archetypes are, but that they're related to powerful galactic factions. So,
alrighty. Well, I mean, we can probably guess, right? That it's going to be, you know, like a Steward's archetype and...
Probably a Steward's archetype.
Xenodruid or... Maybe.
Well, it lists some of the factions here, including Abaddon Kor's Holy Corporate Empire, Vernal Orders of the Hell Knights, World Preserving Xeno Wardens.
Maybe. I mean, those are the factions, but are they're going to be related to the archetypes?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. Got it.
The Starfinder 2nd Edition Hell Knight archetype would be really interesting because that would supplement Pathfinder 2nd Edition really well. Who does not, to my knowledge, have it? Oh no, there is no, early on. There was
several of them. Yeah,
yeah.
There's the Armiger and then the regular Hell Knight. Signifier. Yeah. Ron, you should know this by now. There's no extra I in
signifier.
It.
There's no other I.
It's not signifier. It's Signifier. It's
excuse me.
Signifier.
You, how soon you forget. I mean, I guess
is it broken? I mean, are they still like broken 4 years, up? Order of the Gate, an Order of the Chain, an Order of the
Yes, they okay, are. Good. Some of them, there are some Starfinder specific orders that have been since 1st edition, and now they'll probably go into those a little bit too. Because there's an Order of the Eclipse. Shows
development over time of the organization.
Yeah.
And this is expected April 2025, the Galaxy Guide.
What about the GM core? Does it say when it's expected?
I don't think
so. Is there a product page for it?
Let's find out. Let's find out. Let's Google it together.
See, and I say this all cavalierly, like, this is yet another thing I could have just looked up but didn't.
No, it's not currently not on the, it doesn't have a product page yet.
Okay.
Well, this is wild. Like, you can actually get a Galaxy Guide special edition. That's the product availability is up for that to pre-order from Zulus right now.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's at a discounted price. There's a savings of $16 to them. That's pretty, pretty good. Cool. Yeah. Might have to do that. One of my favorite stores.
Yeah, great. Do it.
All right, well.
Anyway. My favorite store for a lot of these things was Eric Mona's desk, right? When he used to get the like the very early print proofs of them that were shipped over for him. That was, you know, there'd be only like two that exist in the whole world, and they'd be on Eric Mona's desk. That would be fun to be able to go in and see. So,
yeah, but you couldn't buy them from him. He wasn't selling them.
No, that's true. That's true.
So it's less of a store, more of a museum.
Or library.
To take it back.
Or,
yeah. That's right. Guarded by
a library lets you take the books away.
Oh, that's true.
Museum doesn't let you take the books.
That's true.
Yes. One of the places I was at just last week was the LA Library, which is gorgeous and has, like, a lot of it is museum itself. Yeah, it's sort of a combo library and museum. When we went, I think my wife is more excited to see the museum stuff in it, and I was more excited for the library stuff in it. So our expectations didn't quite mesh, but it was very plainly both of those things.
Yes. Yeah, I get libraries will have those, like, restricted wings or whatever that you can go in, look at a book, and then leave, not take the book with you.
But so Starfinder second edition showed up, and I saw this, even though John mentioned it to us before the show as well, to EN World's 2025 most anticipated tabletop RPGs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
And that was really neat to see that people are really excited about Starfinder 2E coming out. A couple real surprises on that. A couple of things that weren't surprises. I think the Cosmere role-playing game, because Brandon Sanderson's very popular, and the Terry Pratchett Discworld RPG.
I'm super excited about that one.
Yeah, it's very. Yeah, it's. I've seen a lot about that. That looks really cool. I was excited to see the only other game on this that I actually play and have some experience with is 13th Age, the second edition. We've been using the second edition playtest rules in the ongoing 13th Age game I've been playing for quite some time now. Despite the fact that my wizard is not quite as cool as in the original 13th Age rules, but it is one of the things that I'm looking forward to as well. So that was fun to see here.
Fun. Yeah. I think, you know, like, we don't know, Starfinder first edition came out. There was a big sort of like swell because it hit these role-playing, facets that kind of games didn't have, right? We talked a little about this before. You know, you've got sci-fi role-playing games, but the majority of them are licensed in some way or another. They're connected to some world or whatever. You don't have a ton of, like, didn't have a ton of sci-fi fantasy stuff that was just sort of, took, for lack of a better word, sort of kitchen sinky and generic, right? That people want. And so I think because of that too, like, because that's still hasn't changed that much in the whatever 6, 7, 8 years, people are excited to get in on more of this and in the very you know well-liked engine of second edition.
When Starfinder first came out, it was number 6 on N-World's list in 2017.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting stuff. It's fun stuff. You know, that's why we play it and we talk about it here on a bi-weekly basis, because it's cool.
Yeah, it's funny how much the 20 Coriolis the Great Dark is also on the 2025. Hmm. 13th Age Second Edition. A lot of the things that are updates to stuff from earlier most anticipated lists is really kind of neat. Some of the things just carry forward.
I'm interested with Daggerheart too. Not so much to play it, but to see what the actual responses to it.
Yeah, that was on, come to think of it, 13th Age 2nd Edition is the same way. It was on last year's list, most anticipated list, and didn't end up coming out. I remember that Daggerheart was on that list for 2024.
Hey, sometimes it happens. So you got to push things around and push things back.
Wait, but Starfinder 2nd Edition won't be pushed back, right?
Oh, no. No. It definitely is going to come out this year. It has to now at this point, right?
Yeah.
Of all the things it's talked about and advertised, it has to come out. Because, you know, if it doesn't come out at Gen Con, kind of almost, there's a little bit like, what's the point? So if it doesn't come out at this Gen Con and it can't come out next Gen Con, that's too far away.
It's got to come out. Yeah.
Got to get out here. We got the playtest. It's good.
Now, but I wonder, so when Starfinder came out at Gen Con in 2017, it sold out.
Oh, yeah.
It sold out. Now, I wonder two things now based on that. One, is Paizo going to bring a lot more of second edition than they brought last time? And two, will it be as popular and sell out again, even if they bring more?
Well, I'm sure there are people who are crunching those numbers to decide how much.
Yeah.
Because selling out is great because you don't have to, you get rid of everything and you don't have to pay to ship anything back. It does sort of say, well, we could have made more money if we brought a little bit more and then also sold out. So there's that like needle that you have to kind of like push one way or the other. Cause you bring too much, you don't sell out, then you have to pay to ship it back. And that sort of ends up maybe eating the cost of how much more you did sell than when you brought a thing, you know.
Let me just tell you from a marketing point of view, stock outs are bad. You actually want to have enough. Really? Yeah.
No, I'd go the other direction. And I know it's daring of me to argue with literally a man who has taught this for decades. But when it comes to selling out a book like this at a convention like Gen Con, there is, first of all, the huge marketing push you'll be able to say by just saying this book sold out at Gen Con, right? That it was the hot thing at Gen Con or one of the hot things at Gen Con. That's worth quite a bit of marketing buzz on its own. And secondly, the types of people who are going to Gen Con, frankly, they're already game buyers. There are people who are going to be, you know, looking at, you know, buying games from gaming websites. They're going to be going into their local gaming stores. These are people who are going to buy that book anyway. And if they couldn't get it at Gen Con because it was sold out, that's not a lost sale. That's just a deferred sale because they're just going to go get it off of Amazon or from their local store anyway. Virtually all of them, I'd say.
I don't pay much attention to like how the selling stuff works at Gen Con the years that I've gone. I've always wondered if we don't sell out of stuff that often, but I'm wondering if like when this happens, we go pull up an iPad and be like, you know, you could just order it right here and have it shipped to your home because there's more somewhere else, right? There's always more somewhere else. And maybe there's a way to sort of like kind of get the sale there. But again, they don't get the book until the ticket shipped to them. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if they, when you go up to the cashier, you know, the register, if there's a way to like just be like, oh, because they bring up your account often. Anyway, if you have a Paizo.com account, you know, just go up. I'd like to order a book through Paizo.com.
Well, a smarter way to do it, quite frankly, would be, you know, if you start a subscription to Starfinder Second Edition, not only would you get this book hard copy, you'll get a free PDF as well right away.
That's true. They could even do that if the GM core isn't coming out at Gen Con, but it's coming out later. Then the selling thing they ping you with is if you get the subscription, then you'll know that the GM core is going to be coming right behind the player's core or whenever the GM core is going to be coming out. So the subscription seems additionally valuable.
Yeah.
Now I when I was a customer, I remember picking up stuff at Gen Con and just being like, yes, this is my account. And because I had a subscription and then, you know, because I wanted to get the PDFs for free. Not on everything, but on a lot of like the Adventure Pass at the very least. I don't know. I've never purchased something at the Paizo Paizo booth at Gen Con, and like just as a someone who hasn't made an account, like not everyone who comes to Gen Con is going to have an account on our website, right? Like, because I think, you know, you want to get that. I know that I feel like they ask, do you want to get the PDF? Do you want to add, like, if you buy this hardcover now and maybe spend an extra $5, whatever it is they do, is they will throw it, we'll send you the PDF. I think they do that at the booth, but doing the subscription would also be even smarter because you could have that recurring payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one downside I'll say, and I'm sure both of you have experienced this, there's so much to buy at Gen Con, and then you got to, if you're flying, you got to get it home somehow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Every Gen Con, when I'm coming out, I will put my suitcase in another suitcase that's empty, planning to fill up with game stuff to bring back.
I always managed to just buy enough that I could bring home. Like I never really wanted to get like a giant big game like a Gloomhaven at Gen Con, because that's too big and too much to drag home. I just would get a couple books. I'd maybe even look for some small books, something to read on the flight home. But I would try not to get the huge boxes there.
That's a lot more restraint than I'm able to show at Gen Con.
It's fair.
So, well, but you're used to, you probably have driven to Gen Con quite a bit as well, Ron. So
I have much more often driven to Gen Con than I have flown to Gen Con. And that is true. Even when I was living in Salt Lake City and Gen Con was in Wisconsin, we would make road trips across the Midwest, you know, the Rockies in the Midwest, in order to go to Gen Con. So most of the time, right, it was putting stuff into a trunk. Although I did have a group of friends who had won so much stuff at a D&D open that they couldn't fit it all in the trunk of their car, even like having some of the people sitting in between them, between the seats. And so like, so they're asking for other people to help drive some of their winnings home. Like, how would that be? But there was one year I remember being asked to, I guess you might say mule games across the country on behalf of somebody else.
It's funny. I was just remembering that like my pre-Paizo Dames, me going to Gen Con was actually also business related, because I was trying to sell books. So it would be a thing where we'd bring some books and it would be an impetus for us to sell the books so that we could have room to bring home our
bring stuff back.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't gone for business reasons, though. I just got, a message from Carlos Cabrera right before this. And he says hi to both of you, by the way.
Oh, great.
Just so you know.
Is he was his asking, game to do with his daughter coming out?
I think it is soon. I had him in my class, and they were they actually played it with my students and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and the students liked it quite a bit. He's really close, it sounds like, to getting something going. He's got a lot going on. But one of the things he brought up to me was, he was asking about trade days at Gen Con. And I told him, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. And we're going to talk about it later. But so he sent me this this thing that talks about him. Trade day badge registration opens up February 9th. And it's open to professors, educators, student teachers, librarians. I don't know about laser dragons or not. No. Health professionals, developmental therapists, and hobby retailers only. And I
John,
just think
you're at least one of those things.
I'm at least one of those. And so, and it includes, so that's just for the trade days, but it includes a complimentary 4-day Gen Con indie badge. I'm presuming the trade day registration stuff is kind of expensive.
It's only Wednesday, though, I think, is trade day.
Oh, is it?
It's like a 1-day thing, but it's a bunch of...
But it comes with a 4-day badge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That comes with it. Then for the rest of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you get the badge. But whatever you have to pay to go on Wednesday includes Thursday through Sunday.
I've got a friend of mine who went, he is looking into becoming a game store owner, and he went last Gen Con with a very good friend of his who is a well-established game store owner to kind of see what it's like to come at it from the hobby store owner perspective. And he was talking about that trade day. This is the same. He also goes to Gamma and some of the other sort of industry focused shows. And he'd mentioned that he'd gone to the trade day as well at Gen Con. So
I might have some thoughts. About that's that, John. You know?
See what he reach out to him. See what he has to say about it.
So, because I was thinking I'd go, I'll probably go with Organized Play because I really want to run some of the new, the new Paizo scenarios that come out at Gen Con. Always fun
you
to run
at least seven of them. You just told us so.
I would hope so.
Seven times or something like that.
Done that. I did that at Origins one time, ran the same thing seven times. And I thought it would get really boring, but man, you just, after you run it a couple times, you just got all the nuances down really well. And now the player's going to react. You can really enrich the whole thing. And I thought it was a lot better doing rather than like other time when I first started doing conventions, I would try to do as many different ones as I could just to get the, I was a completionist, I was trying to do every single season one, every single season two. And then I got maybe half a season three and then season four. I was like, okay, I can't complete them all, but that was kind of where I was going with that. So I'm hoping to go anyway, but maybe I'll check this out just because I can.
So. Because you qualify.
A game professional friend of mine once talked about doing demos at shows, and he was like, basically, like I have one demo, and I because I was like every year I go to Gen Con, we'll have a new demo for our game, and he was like I wrote one, and we do that one every time because A, you know it, and you can do it over and over, even if it maybe it gets boring, whatever. But you do it over and over again, you have it, you can enhance it, like you said, John, but. If you do different things, like for a game and a newer type game, you'll get like the same people just wanting to try that game in different ways. And having the same thing over and over again basically says it encourages different people to come to each one.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. But that's for like a necessary, not for organized play who are, already, they're going to do them all anyway, but not that we need tons of new organized play people members. They're always great to get new organized play members, of course, but not that we need to do that for Pathfinder or Starfinder. But if you're having something completely new, a new game, it's better to just kind of have that one.
Yeah. Well, one thing I got to tell you, one reason why I'm excited to get there at Gen Con to run the same thing seven times is, for, Starfinder, I was like the number fifth person to get five Novas, right? And so this will give me like seven of my table count right off the bat, right? Just one weekend.
Right away.
And I was wondering what the symbol was going to be. Not going to be a Nova, right? Because when they went from stars to glyphs, right? Edition to second edition. So, Nova, then maybe it's like cracking open planets. Black holes.
Stars. They'll go back around. It'll be stars again.
Oh, I don't think they can do that.
I don't know. You pink hearts or yellow diamonds or blue moons.
It should be blue moons. It should be blue moons.
Blue moons. That I like that. It's probably going to be purple moons, though. Just with all the purple we're seeing.
With the purple theming, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But it's also, anytime you've got sort of first year of, something like this, like Starfinder 2nd Edition being out, there'll be people who are getting into, it's a good entry to organized play. So definitely. People who might have been otherwise intimidated by organized play or who are talking about it with friends but sort of hadn't pulled the trigger, this is where you'd see some of those people. So if you do end up running a whole bunch of tables, John, I'd be interested to know how many of your people, it's their very first organized play game ever, right? I mean, not just Starfinder Society or Pathfinder, but like their first organized play game ever. I think the answer is probably, you'll probably get at least a few, maybe even a lot. I don't know.
I think it'll be a mix because I know there's a lot of Starfinder players in organized play very excited for second edition. But they're not always the same group that go to Gen Con, right? So it's kind of...
Yeah.
Hard to tell. All right, well, we have kind of gone all over the place here. loosely with a Starfinder Second Edition theme.
At least we, hey, you listener out there who complained about last episode. At least we talked about Starfinder. I'm just saying, at least we talked about Starfinder this time. So I hope you're happy.
Okay. Yeah. He means that in the nicest way.
Just, I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Whoa, whoa.
This is my nice fist that I'm shaking. Mm.
I'm John.
Oh, and I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.